Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, a Cinco de Mayo edition. Hope you had a great weekend, folks. And right now, should be sipping on a nice cold margarita salt rim. Ah, the best thing about Cinco de Mayo, definitely the margaritas. Charlie, I hope you get to have one at least after the show. I know, I think that's on my list for this evening when getting into some NBA playoff action.
Yeah, no, listen, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of it, but Might take you up on that, Steve.
The weekend was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, LSU baseball, you heard in the Sports Flash. Great game from Anthony Ionson, but other than that, the Tigers dropping 2 of 3 at Texas A&M. Last night was just a brutal one for the Tigers, who had the lead until late in the game, and a 4-run eighth inning ends up dooming the Tigers, and they lose the game, lose the series, and come home licking their wounds now, getting ready for another SEC series. First up, though, tomorrow night against Grambling.
So Chris Blair made a great point about this earlier on in the show when we had him in the 5 or 420 segment, that LSU's offense has been inconsistent.
For sure.
When it's on, it's on. And like these guys will put up big numbers even in an SEC play. But this was another quiet weekend from the LSU bats. And maybe it's like a road-home type of thing, because you saw them just slug against Tennessee's pitching staff in that finale, that game 3. I don't know, Steve. Like, I'm not panicking about it necessarily. Yes, it's a little bit concerning that LSU's offense has been a little bit up and down and up and down, but they have some up and down players. And so that's kind of the issue there. The thing with the weekend series against Texas A&M is that game 1, the offense was just asleep at the wheel, where Ryan Prager looked the part of an SEC ace.
For true.
He's shown it at times this year. Other times he's been kind of hit up a little bit. He was excellent in that first game against LSU. Anthony Ionson comes back. And that's not even saying that Kate Anderson was also very good. But because LSU's offense couldn't get anything going against him or the Texas A&M bullpen in that game, they only mustered the one run.
Yeah, lose 3-1 in that matchup. You can't play that on Kate Anderson at all.
At one point, it might have even been worse by the time the game was done, but they were like 2 of 12 with runners on base. Mm. They were getting them on, but they just couldn't do anything with them. So they lose game 1 by a score of 3-1. This is going to be our little weekend recap. Game 2, Anthony Ionson just was nails. Absolutely fantastic.
Complete game.
His best performance in an LSU uniform. Complete game, but also on 115 pitches.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Kate Anderson complete game where he threw like 135 and people were freaking out about, is that too many pitches to throw? Anthony Ionson was out there still pounding 93, 94 on his fastball in the ninth inning. He was fantastic. And it showed his conditioning was excellent. Fantastic performance by him. Nothing more you can really say there, because LSU's offense didn't give him much help. They win that game 2-1 because Ionson was as good as he was. A complete game where he tosses 14 strikeouts to one walk. Game 3, Steve, was unfortunate because Luis Hernandez, that was like the Luis Hernandez game, right? He has 3 RBIs on 2 hits, the 2-run shot that gives him a 4-2 lead. You're feeling great about LSU at that point, even with the offense not doing much outside of Hernandez and what production he gave them. The eighth inning, and this is where all the, they call it the Monday morning quarterbacking that people do, but it's the same thing in baseball. Like, it happens all the time, where people were, like, getting on Jay for taking out Chase Shores in the eighth inning. the lefty-lefty thing worked against Jason LaViolette. And two outs in the eighth inning, and Connor Ware gets LaViolette to ground out to third. But it's like a swinging bunt, and Braswell can't get there in time, and so he gets on base. And you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. And the very next at-bat is the three-run shot.
Right.
Actually, I think it was two at-bats later, technically. But anyways, it was just a two-out rally that Texas A&M put together. And you kind of got to tip the hat at that point. Like, okay, they stole that series from LSU. LSU was ready to win that series on game three. And Zach Cowan, who's just been unbelievable for them all year long out of the bullpen, just didn't have a great weekend, unfortunately. But it's okay because he's been so good. And you know that it was just an off weekend. And it happens, especially in college baseball. It happens from time to time. So
just tough to stomach, though. Like you said, the Tigers look to be in control of that one. You're kind of penciling down, all right, a series win at A&M and then an unfortunate eighth inning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-out rally. Four runs scored with two outs. And all of a sudden, you go from winning the weekend series. You were four outs away from getting it done, and it just doesn't happen. Now, you just got to turn your attention to this upcoming week. You have Grambling in the midweek. This upcoming weekend against Arkansas is gigantic. I know that I kind of said the same thing about Texas A&M because it was big for both teams. We're getting down to it, Steve, where right. All these weekend series are crucially important for everyone involved. But the weekend series against Arkansas, a top 10 matchup, Arkansas bludgeoned Texas. Like, it wasn't even close. I mean, they killed the Longhorns. And the Longhorns were 19-2 in SEC play entering that series. And I know the talk was that, oh, they haven't played anyone on the road just yet. Just wait till they go on the road and play a tough opponent. They go to Fayetteville, and that noise was correct. Because Arkansas, who I think lost three straight weekend series up to that point, absolutely annihilated them.
Punched them in the gut, punched them in the face, and punched them while they were down.
They kicked their teeth in. I mean, it was unbelievable. So now you get a hot Arkansas team feeling very confident after just destroying the number one team in the country coming to your park. And you're coming off a weekend series loss. How do you respond? It's almost kind of similar to, you know, the Tennessee weekend where you're bringing in a top team to your park. You got to protect home field. I mean, that's just all it is. That's what Texas A&M did. And LSU was so close, four outs away from potentially taking that road series. But in the SEC, you just got to win at home. So if you're LSU, you're 15-9 in SEC play, you're top 8 in RPI, you're still in a good spot, but you have to win 2-3 against Arkansas this weekend. I don't think that's really even a hot take.
Some of the Tigers that we were talking about so much too in the early part of the year, I felt like have kind of gone silent. Like a Steven Milam has really kind of disappeared right now.
Yeah, Milam was cold, and he's been cold for a couple weekends now. Jared Jones was relatively quiet outside of, I think that game one performance was really solid for him. You know, Curiel had a pretty quiet weekend. So these are like your top hitters. And when you're wondering why LSU's offense didn't put up much production against that Texas A&M pitching staff, that's why. You're having like a lot of hitters that just went a little bit quiet this past weekend, but you're coming back home to the friendly confines of Alec Box Stadium against Arkansas, top 10 showdown. If you can't get up for that, you can't get up for anything.
No, tomorrow you mentioned LSU's got Grambling.
Yep.
This is a school that LSU has never lost to, 13-0. They only started playing them in the 2009, so it's not a huge sample size, but 13 straight wins over a school is pretty damn dominating.
And they've taken care of business in the midweek, Steve.
Right.
Like
the last game against Grambling was 26-2.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens this upcoming matchup against Grambling. The thing with Arkansas, though, Steve, is that, you know, it's going to be their offense versus LSU's pitching staff, like strength versus strength. And watching Zach Root, the transfer from ECU, because I remember we had been talking about the Pelicans, and I had the game up on Thursday night last week. It's like, oh my goodness, what is happening here? Texas is just getting killed by Arkansas. Root was named the co-SEC pitcher of the week with Anthony Ianson. And if you're asking why he got that, it was 8 shutout innings in that opener against Texas where he was just untouchable. Another lefty, another southpaw in the first game. I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of those in the SEC, but he's going to be a real tough customer in that first game for LSU, their offense. But LSU's pitching staff versus Arkansas's offense is the one to watch. Arkansas's offense can kill the ball when they're feeling hot. And hitting is contagious. That you know, term gets thrown around a lot. But when they kept getting runners on against Texas, it was like an avalanche. Texas could not get any outs.
Right, the merry-go-round kept going.
That's what LSU can't afford to see happen this weekend at the box. Because if it gets out of control, it can get out of control early. And with LSU's inconsistent offense, they may not be able to keep up with Arkansas if they really get rolling.
We're going to also dip into some NBA playoff talk going on right now. The Celtics taking on the Knicks in game one right now. Boston's got a 14-11 lead. There's about 6.5 minutes left in the first quarter over there. Some interesting action yesterday we're going to get into with Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast after the break. Indiana Pacers, though, taking game one of that series in Cleveland. Mighty impressive. And then, not really a surprise, the Golden State Warriors end up tripping up the Houston Rockets, close out that series 4-3. Steph Curry and the Dubs moving on to the next round. We'll get into NBA playoff chatter along with some Pels talk with Jake Madison, so stay tuned right after the break. Grab that margarita on Cinco de Mayo. I'll be back right after this.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk. Seeing on TV right now, we've got the NHL draft lottery going on. A week from today, though, the NBA draft lottery. Well, Pelicans fans will be tuned in, anxiously waiting to see where the ping pong balls end up falling for the birds. To help us break down that and all the NBA playoffs going on right now, all things Pelicans, make sure you check out Locked On Pelicans with Jake Madison joining us now. Jake, how was your weekend and how you doing today? Have a margarita yet?
No margaritas yet. Still recovering from Jazz Fest this past weekend, but happy to be on Talking Hoops with you here.
Awesome stuff. I'm glad the weather held up for you, too, this weekend for Jazz Fest. Looking at these playoffs, we've made it to the conference semifinals now. Were there any of those first-round matchups for you that kind of took you surprise on how they ended? I guess the biggest one, I guess, the Golden State Warriors being able to take down the number two seeded Rockets, but with Steph Curry leading the way, I don't think you ever doubt the Dubs.
No, like I wouldn't call that series a surprise per se, even though the lower seed won and the team going through the play-in tournament won. But I think it also shows that the Rockets need to make some sort of change. They kind of won based on defense all year long. And in a final game, you hold your opponent to 103 points in a game seven, and you still lose by double digits. It's an offensive-driven league right now. They need to make some big changes, and that's going to be something that maybe has an impact on the Pelicans, right? That's a team that really could make a run at someone like Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks after their, you know, disappointing first-round series. the Pelicans can get in play in that sort of thing, probably should be in play as a facilitator at the very least. So maybe it's a good thing for New Orleans that the Rockets got bounced out kind of early.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. They need to add star power, Jake. They just don't have enough. And Jalen Green was kind of a no-show, and you know maybe he'll be part of a trade for a superstar player like a Giannis. I've also heard Kevin Durant's name thrown out there. You know, Devin Booker was a couple months ago, I think, but he could potentially also be on the chopping block. It's these teams that are in real bad situations, like Milwaukee, like Phoenix, that could be selling star players, and Houston should definitely be buyers.
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at, they could go in a number of different directions. I don't know if, you know, with that young core, you want to put someone on, like, really the back kind of couple of years of his career, like Kevin Durant would be. I think Giannis makes more sense, kind of maybe fits in with their defensive first culture, too, under Ime Udoka, their head coach. I think that's the direction they'd likely go, but it feels like if they want to take a leap forward, it's not going to be on the back of Jalen Green. They're going to need to just do something else that gives them a little bit more consistency. Green is kind of boom or bust at times, and I don't think that's a good way to, you know, try and win an NBA title.
Fun series was watching the Denver Nuggets and LA Clippers, and once again the Clippers end up disappointing. Nuggets coming out on top and seem to be all right after they ended up firing their head coach right before the playoffs get underway. What have you seen out of Denver? Could they, you know, legitimately challenge the OKC Thunder, who have just been on a tear?
I think OKC was just licking their chops watching that game seven there, just waiting for whoever it's going to be. You're going to come in and play a very well-rested OKC team. Denver, who, you know, right after winning that game, had to get on a flight the next day to go travel to Oklahoma City. There's no rest there for that team, and they were pushed to a game seven. And look, if they play any other team, I'm not sure if they advance. It took, you know, just a usual game seven choke job from James Harden in that one, a no-show from him, for them to win that game. And if he shows up even a little bit, I think you could be looking at the Clippers advancing in us, maybe not believing in that team either. So I think whoever it was going to be playing OKC, OKC is going to be a favorite by a mile.
Before we get into the draft lottery, because I do want to throw some questions at you, Jake, I want to get your thoughts on now the Minnesota Golden State series. With a sixth seed hosting, you know, a second-round series in the playoffs, it's pretty unusual, but you know, Golden State's not a very typical seven seed either. At the same time, Minnesota looks so impressive against a very, I guess, flawed Lakers team is what you would say. They had a lot of holes that Minnesota was able to exploit. And I think that, you know, Golden State also has some similar issues with size. I know they were able to get out of that series against Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams, but those two big lineups gave them a lot of issues. I think that Minnesota can throw that out at them as well. I think it's going to be a really fun series. Vegas has Minnesota as slight favorites, and I think they're kind of on the money there.
Yeah, I think so. Look, Anthony Edwards, you know, can be one of the future faces of the league if he's not already there. He's got some attitude to him, which I think kind of elevates him here. This is really going to be a series where he can kind of propel himself to superstardom, and I think he's really ready for that task, right? That's a guy who's massively driven, is going to have watched that series between Golden State and Houston and really want to kind of take it to Steph Curry here. It's really going to come down to him, but you saw Rudy Gobert play exceptionally well, not get played off of the court in that series against the Lakers either, defending well on the perimeter, which has always kind of been the knock on him for a multiple time defensive player of the year. This one's going to be a lot of fun. And look, it might just come down to who's making their threes. If Golden State is going to look like the Splash Brothers of old, even though they don't have Klay Thompson with Jimmy Butler there, that's going to be something that just no team can really keep up with. You saw Steph Curry even struggle early on in that game seven against the Houston Rockets. He's going to need to be kind of on the whole series here, but I think Minnesota ultimately wins.
Jake, looking at the game going on right now, this series just started game one, Boston Celtics, New York Knicks. If you listen to most of the sports media out there, the Knickerbockers, they're not getting much of a chance at all in this series. Folks calling it maybe a 4-5 game series at most. And I just curious your thoughts on the Knicks standing up any kind of chance against this Celtics squad that we know can fire away very easily.
Yeah, I think the Celtics just present a lot of problems for the Knicks. That's a team they just match up very poorly against. And when you saw the Knicks in that really tough series against the Detroit Pistons, which probably physically wore them down a good bit too, their offense looked stuck in mud. They weren't getting shots off till 4 or 5 seconds left in the shot clock, just playing with a really slow pace. And that works if your opponent plays slow and wants to play slow, but Celtics play fast. They fire away from three. And if you're working hard for twos and the Celtics are getting easy threes, the math is just not going to work out in your favor. It's going to be a big problem. I see why people are saying this. It looks like a five-game series. I don't have it on now, so I don't know what the score is at the exact moment here. But I just think the Celtics are going to roll in this one. And I don't know if the Knicks are going to present a ton of trouble. There'll be some stretches where they out-hustle you, out-work you. But overall, it's going to come down to can they score and can they do it consistently and easily like the Boston Celtics will, and I think the answer to that is no.
Jake, we got eight teams left. Is anyone going to be stopping Boston versus OKC in the finals?
It's tough to see a team that would. You know, I think the Cavaliers are in for a tougher series than they'd like against the Indiana Pacers, particularly with them stealing home court advantage the other night and winning game one of that series. And Indiana is just an annoying team. Now, I don't necessarily see them winning the series, but they're going to make you work for it. And going into your next series, you're going to feel exhausted from that. And if it's the Cavaliers, you know, taking six games, seven games to beat the Pacers and then going in against a well-rested Boston team, like, that doesn't bode well for them, in my opinion. So I still think it's OKC and Boston in the finals.
You know, Jake, we're a week removed from the lottery for the NBA, and it's a gigantic night for the Pelicans, obviously, who have the fourth best odds to land the number one overall pick in the Cooper Flagg draft. But all in all, it's basically a coin flip for whether or not they get into the top four or not. You know, it's like a 48.1% chance that they land a top four pick. But then it's also like a 52% chance that they fall out of the top four and get either pick 5, 6, 7. The lowest they can go is 8. But at pick 8, you only have a 2.2% chance to get that. The most likely is pick 6. My question to you is that we kind of know the top four picks and how they're ordered a little bit with Cooper Flagg and then, you know, Harper from Rutgers, Bailey from Rutgers as well, and then VJ Edgecombe from Baylor. If the Pelicans get the wrong end of the coin flip and fall out of the top four, and let's say get pick 5 or pick 6, who are some prospects that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that you could really look at in that area that really could be a difference maker for the team. And I think you start with Kaspar Siakoumis from Illinois. They need a point guard on this team. You know, DeJounte Murray's not going to be healthy to start the year. They need someone to kind of fill that gap till he comes back, and maybe you bring him off the bench and figure out what to do with him at that point in time. Siakoumis is really good size. He was a little bit disappointing in conference play, and that's where you really want to measure some of these prospects by. That's something that probably has not come out of the top four of this draft where he would have been otherwise, but he's a name to keep an eye on. Derek Queen had a really good, you know, tournament as well. That's a big man with good size who can rebound decently well, but also has some range, a three-point shot, a mid-range shot. There's some Karl Anthony Towns or Naz Reid in the way that he plays. That's the type of archetype, that type of player that would fit really well next to Zion Williamson. Keep an eye on those names, but look, if things go really wrong for the Pelicans in this lottery, you know, they could fall to 7 or 8 in this one too. That's when I think they might look at trading the pick and trying to kind of go all in next year a little bit more. I think that'd be a little bit short-sighted. I wouldn't recommend that they do that, but I don't think it would be off the table for them to try and make some sort of big swing trade, really kind of maximize what, you know, whatever time it is you have left with Zion Williamson, and see if Joe Dumars can kind of make a move right off the bat that sets the tone for the rest of his tenure here.
You mentioned Joe Dumars there, and he's the new executive vice president of basketball operations for the Pelicans. The team also hiring Troy Weaver to be the senior vice president of basketball operations. What are your thoughts on the addition of Weaver along with Dumars?
You know, it's interesting that the Pelicans have gotten basically the past three people that have run the Detroit Pistons, and this is a team that took 21 years to win their next playoff game. So it's not ideal in my opinion. But look, you know, I think when you get someone like Weaver, who is known as a very strong talent evaluator, a very good drafter, and when you look at this Detroit Pistons team this year, his fingerprints are all over it in acquiring the players, drafting the guys, making those kind of moves, and it just needed a little bit longer for it to pay off. That's an area that Joe Dumars struggles with. You know, he's very good at trading for talent. That's how he built that 04 Pistons title team. But the drafting was really subpar for him. If you get someone that kind of covers for your weaknesses, that's a smart move. Someone that, you know, kind of you can focus on your strengths and let someone take over those other duties. And Troy Weaver is someone who likes to be very hands-on, very involved in that process. From that perspective, I like it. Even if on the surface you look at his tenure in Detroit and it doesn't look particularly great.
You know, Jake, looking at the draft lottery again and the top four selection. So if the Pelicans do get into that top four, I kind of want to go prospect by prospect. I mentioned the names, but starting out with Cooper Flagg, who in your opinion, is he the quote-unquote gold chip prospect? I know maybe not necessarily on someone like Victor Wembanyama scale, but right up there with like Anthony Edwards and some of the other guys that have come out recently.
Yeah, this is a guy that's going to impact winning at a high level in the NBA, and that's what you're hoping for with the number one overall pick. And his numbers might not be the most flashy when you see him out there at the NBA level. I don't know if he's a guy that's ever going to average 25 points per game or something along those lines, but I think that's okay. This is someone who's going to give you something like 18 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists per game with a block or two and a steal and give you just high-level defense. He's the type of guy that you can really build a culture around, build a team around, and I think he is by far and away the number one overall pick in this draft and the guy that, you know, teams are really going to be clamoring for. When you look at these playoffs, one of the things you notice is star players need to do things when the ball isn't in their hands on offense. Cooper Flagg does all of that, and he's the type of guy that wherever you slot him in, whatever team it's going to be, he's going to impact winning at a very, very high level, and that's really important for what you need at the NBA right now.
The 3-4 in this draft seems a little bit more controversial than just the 2, because there is the drop-off after Cooper Flagg, as you mentioned, but Dylan Harper from Rutgers, the point guard slash shooting guard, kind of a combo guard, the son of Ron Harper, he's got the NBA bloodlines. What are your thoughts on, you know, Dylan Harper, who's probably going to be the number 2 pick?
Yeah, I think he is solidly at number 2. I think, you know, if you're kind of doing this the way I group these guys, is tier 1 players are guys that could go number 1 overall. And the only guy that's tier 1, in my opinion, this year is Cooper Flagg. I think Dylan Harper's kind of in his own tier 2 this year. Look, you need he reminds me a lot of Ja Morant, I think, a guy that with some really good size, good strength, plays playing downhill, creates for others that way, projects to be a good three-point shooter at the NBA level. It's the type of guy you just want on your team and can kind of be that lead guard for you and fits what is working right now in the NBA. Kind of coming from that background of, you know, a dad who played in the league. So he kind of has not just like the good genetics with it, but probably an idea of what it takes to succeed. I think that can be a really underrated quality, a guy that just knows what it takes to win and how to take care of yourself, how to be a professional. Those type of qualities are really important. So I'm very high on him. And if the Pelicans end up at number 2 overall, that's who I imagine they would end up drafting.
And Jake, curious your take on this as well. We've gotten a few people maybe suggesting Zion Williamson could be dealt somewhere, whether it's draft night or before that. Do you think that this team is ready to move on, starting anew with Joe Dumars, or it's more like you want to keep a guy like Zion around to be this anchor for this squad?
You know, I think if you end up trading him, you have to commit to a rebuild and know that that's the direction that you're going in. And I think some of that can be really predicated on where do you end up in the lottery in this. Well, you know, we'll have a better idea come Monday of what the direction and future of Zion Williamson in this team is. You know, I think when you go back to Joe Dumars' press conference and hearing him kind of speak about the qualities, the intangibles of the players he wants. And he said, there's two people walking in the building. There's the player. And we can all see that. We can all evaluate that. But then there's the person. And you've got to know if they want to be great, if yes, they want to commit to the hard work and do all of that stuff. Look, that doesn't particularly describe Zion Williamson, in my opinion. And so that's where I think you're going to see Joe Dumars sit down with him and kind of really see if they're going to get the type of buy-in that Zion needs to be getting going into year 7 in the NBA at this point in time. And if Joe Dumars doesn't think that's there in Zion Williamson, you can really clearly see the traits that Joe Dumars cares about. Grit, toughness, putting in the work, all of those things. I think he's going to try and kind of suss that out from Zion Williamson. And if you don't see it, I would not be surprised if they make a move and try and kind of remake this team, remake the roster a little bit, kind of in the vein of a different culture.
Last one for you here about the lottery, Jake, because I think it's interesting with Joe Dumars coming in as the lead executive. His draft history in Detroit was less than stellar, let's call it. Troy Weaver, a little bit of a different story. He brought in some good pieces for that Detroit Pistons team before he ended up moving on. And then you also still have Bryson Graham here, who's done some good things in the Pelicans scouting department. Your thoughts on if the Pelicans fall out of those top 2 picks, which we've already said are kind of segmented with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper, you know, if they get the 3rd overall selection, for instance, would you say that they would target someone like VJ Edgecombe or an Ace Bailey? Or what are your kind of thoughts on those 2 prospects and how they kind of fit what some of the front office members have scouted recently?
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, I think Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe are kind of tied for the 3rd best prospect in the league. You know, Ace Bailey has all of the tools you want to be a really good NBA player, really good size, but his shot selection leaves a lot to be desired. And this maybe kind of comes down to Joe Dumars' vision. And kind of the big question that people have asked about him is, has the game passed him by? This is someone who did not really love analytics during his time in Detroit. It was not someone who kind of saw the trends where the league was going when it came to three-point shooting and the like. That's a big problem. And Ace Bailey is kind of more of a mid-range guy, a throwback kind of guy. Looks like he can shoot the three well, but has not done so consistently. So they kind of need to figure, what type of team do you want to build? You know, BJ Edgecombe is that kind of high-flying guard, I think, the type of guy that does work really well in the NBA right now, projects to be a very good three-point shooter, a guy that works well off-ball too, whereas Ace Bailey doesn't as much. I think those are kind of the big debates with that guy. I think Ace Bailey might truly have one of the highest ceilings in this draft, maybe more so than Dylan Harper, maybe a little bit more so potentially than Cooper Flagg, I even think. But there's big questions of if he'll reach that sort of ceiling when it comes down to it. And that's why I think it makes him a really tricky prospect to try and evaluate.
Thank you, as always, for the time, Jake. Hopefully we get a little luck on our side a week from today with the NBA draft lottery. Thank you, though, for your time on Cinco de Mayo. Go get yourself a Margie.
All right, sounds good. Will do, because you said so here. Thank you.
Thanks, Jake.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Looking at the Boston Celtics, New York Knicks game one, we got the Celtics down by one right now. We got 9:46 left till halftime there. Keep monitoring that as we roll on here on Sports Talk. Be back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Don't forget, folks, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. Listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It's that easy. You realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easier for you to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for this show or any of the shows that you love here on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or you can tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Charlie, coming up at 7 o'clock, the Jay Johnson Show. And I don't know if Jay will be heated, but I can probably bet that he's not going to be in the best of moods, though, this Monday.
Yeah, never after a loss. I'm going to try and find his quote after they lost game three, though, Steve. It was one of those, like, you know, tip your cap, so to speak, that sure. He thought that they played well. He said, quote, "I'm really proud of the effort put forward by our players in this game today. Obviously, we want to execute a little better, play a little better, and continue with our competitive mindset. This is a team that is capable of accomplishing a lot this season, and we have a lot ahead of us." So, you know, this is one of those kind of flush it. It's upsetting that you didn't win the weekend series when you were so close, as we had kind of mentioned in the first segment this hour, quite literally 4 outs away from taking 2 or 3 from a very hot Texas A&M team. At the same time, it's okay. Just flush it, move forward to this Arkansas series this upcoming weekend, which is going to be critical.
Yeah, we got a Arkansas series, like you're mentioning, coming up is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then I think the final SEC series of the season is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're back to that format.
Right, because the Hoover stuff is going to be happening the next week.
Right.
And that all gets kicked off at like Tuesday, I'm pretty sure. And then it goes all the way throughout the weekend. And so the teams that are kind of near the bottom of the SEC, like the, you know, I think it's, how many teams make it to the Hoover, Steve? Is it 12 or 14?
I believe you're right, 12.
So 12. So like the 12 seed versus the 5. And it's the setup is the way it is that, you know, it gets off early. I think the first round is all single elimination, and then it gets into double elimination afterwards. But LSU sitting right now with a top 4 SEC record, they would potentially get a first round bye in the Hoover tournament. So they get right into the double elimination part of the bracket.
No, definitely expecting that for sure. Yeah, it kind of, you know, you start out, if you're not one of those teams that has a bye, that first game, you could be very easily won and done.
Exactly. I think that happened last year to, like, Georgia, I want to say. Georgia was maybe, like, the 5 seed, and then they lost in their first game. I'll double-check that here in just a little bit, Steven.
It's not the end of the world, though, because, man, after the SEC tournament, you get into the NCAA tournament, and it's just like SEC tourney part two.
Right, and then the kind of question becomes, is it worth, you know, going through all these games to win the SEC tournament because you have regional play starting very quickly afterwards, and, you know, people are competitors. It's going to happen.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll close things out, then get ready for the Jay Johnson Show coming up on here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Be right back after this break. Closing out this Monday edition of Sports Talk, giving a shout out to 1501 on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Charlie saying 16 teams go to Hoover, and I was like, wait a minute, is that right? Looked it up. There is a new format this year.
Yeah, adding Texas and Oklahoma, so they're doing a completely different format from what it was last year. A couple notes here. The Georgia-LSU thing, I'm not crazy. It happened. LSU beat Georgia in that opener. Georgia was the 6 seed, LSU was the 11, and then they went on this crazy run.
You're still crazy,
the
too.
The new format is weird, Steve. It's no longer the single elimination start, then it goes into double elimination.
Nope.
All 16 teams are involved, so it's a single elimination bracket throughout, which I kind of like. You know, looking at this right now, like if the season ended today, Missouri would be in Hoover, which is, I mean, that's kind of a waste, isn't it? You go from 0-30 to 0-31, but then you go throughout. So if you're a top 4 seed in the SEC, you get a double bye into the quarterfinals. Wow. So that's what LSU should really be shooting for. And I think they're in a good spot to do it. If the SEC tournament started today, LSU, I think, would technically be the 4 seed. They're tied with Georgia right now with a 15-9 record. But I think the tiebreaker is conference record, and then well, obviously conference record, but then it gets into like the record of common opponents, and via SEC standings right now, they have Georgia's the 3rd team listed and LSU's the 4th. So I think that's what it would be. But LSU would be in position to get a first round and second round bye into the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament in Hoover.
Yeah, looking at it, the SEC tournament set to get underway May 20th. That's a Tuesday.
Is it less games as well? You know, with the double elimination format, it might not be technically, but
I feel like it has to be, huh?
Yeah, it probably would be game 15. So anyways, it's a cool new format with adding Texas and Oklahoma to the mix.
For more even LSU baseball coming up right after this, the Jay Johnson Show on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this Cinco de Mayo. Hope you have a great week ahead. Love you all. Have a good night.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.